Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. Glad to be with you, and really to Americans and our friends around the world, we're so glad you're here. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show, and we are the show, and we can proudly state we're trying to free America one enslaved mind at a time. Please help us by sharing. We're on digital platforms. We might be fundraising. I got one of those letters, you know. Well, we're not going to talk about that here, but we're not going to stop speaking the truth. And we're going to speak the truth about AI today with our guest, Joshua Hale. I cannot wait to get into this. But first, I need to let you know we are coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios. And you know what? Noble Gold is probably your best bet right now. Silver's a crisis. There could be confiscations, maybe not. But the thing is silver is really hurting the banks because they can't meet the margin calls on the paper they printed. And you're going to be the recipient of the fallout. In other words, you're going to fund the bail-in. Now, if you don't want to be in that position, leave operating capital in the bank. And one of the things you should be doing with your money is buying gold. And gold's outside their purview. If you got a retirement in the bank, Noble Gold can convert that for you and put it under your control in the Dodd-Frank Law of 2010 that says you're in second place, unsecured creditor. The banks cannot take this from you if it's under your control. Hello, I'm a customer and I have been for 9 years, multiple times over. So I can say this, FTC wants me to tell you there's a risk in any investment you do. We agree, but they should be putting that note over the door of every bank in America too. Protect yourself today. Call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. And if you forget the number because you're on the treadmill or wherever, hey, just go to DaveHodgesGold.com and start the process there. Well, our guest, Joshua Hale, he's not your typical tech consultant. He was in, now he's out, and he's back in on his terms. And he's had some personal struggles in the past, but he's come out of them really enlightened, and he helps people with AI. We'll talk about how he can help you, but also too, we want to really get into some aspects of AI here, and I'm scrolling down here right now. If you're looking at small business or you want to use AI in your private life, this is your guy. And he teaches people how to use AI without losing yourself, how to make it affordable. And I tell you, this is the hot ticket. And I will tell you this, if you're not using AI and you're competing with people that are, okay, it's kind of like you're playing in the NBA with a 5'11 center. Joshua, welcome to the show, my friend. Glad you could join us. Where do we jump into this monolithic topic?
Thanks, Dave. Thanks for having me on. I'm really excited to,
Pleasure. Pleasure.
share what I know about this whole AI thing with your audience. AI is a very vague term, and it's being shoved in our face all over the place for the last 3+ years. So I think a good place to start is a little, trip down history lane, and just say that, AI has been something that mankind has been developing for like 60, 70 years, right? Ever since like early code breakers. It's just a mathematical algorithm that's been building and building and building. And something really unique happened in the last about 5 years. Now, I was downtown Seattle meeting with a client in 2016, and she had two developers with her. And during break, they went over in the corner and they were cracking up laughing, looking at their phones. And I walked over there. I'm like, "What are you guys laughing at?" And they showed me their phone, and it was two chatbots talking to each other. And it was completely incoherent, a bunch of gobbledygook. And I was like, "What are you guys doing, wasting your time watching two chatbots? How insane." Little did I know, that was the early part of what we now call large language models. And what they found out was if they threw the whole internet at these chatbots, all of a sudden they just started making sense. And that was the start of OpenAI and ChatGPT. So these large language models really came out of like left field. Nobody really saw them coming. And now there is this like very powerful tool that is, being brought out into mankind. If it was my choice, I would have said, let's wait another 10 years for humankind to evolve and, get a little more ethical. But That's not what happened. These things came out, and right away people started trying them out, and they hallucinated a bunch back then. And journalists, they would try it and they would just make up stuff because it's programmed to like give you the best answer. And it wasn't connected to the internet. It had a limited data set that it could reference for information. And unfortunately, instead of saying like, "Oh, I don't know," it would just make stuff up, which sounded really plausible. Now, I was running a marketing agency when ChatGPT came out. I had, a dozen clients, I had eight contractors, and I went out to lunch with a fellow marketer here in town, and he showed me ChatGPT for the first time. He's like, "Have you seen this thing?" Kind of like under the table. And I was like, "Wow, it can like write blogs, right? This is amazing." Came home, signed up for it, and before I knew it, I was able to test it out on my different clients' industries and really see, immediate strengths in business because it was trained on the internet. There's a ton of business strategy on the internet.
That's
So
really fascinating. What year was that when you made that discovery?
this was early 2000 or winter of 2023. So
So yeah, this is a new
ChatGPT
phenomena. Yeah.
just
Let me
came out public.
share with you a quick story about interaction, and I hear some of what you're saying. I asked a question and I can't remember what the prompt was, but it came back to Doug Hagman, a fellow researcher and broadcaster friend of mine, and myself. And basically doing the old-fashioned conspiracy theory label list for our shows and so forth and so on, unfounded theories about globalism and the New World Order. And I said, so, and they said, there's no such thing as a New World Order. That was what Grok told me. I'm not kidding. So I came back in, I said, how do you explain the Trilateral Commission? And I said, list all the people from the Trilateral Commission and the Carter administration, how it influenced policy. And it came back, excellent point. And then I said, explain to me the interconnection with the central banks through the Bank of International Settlements in Europe and why they're lockstep together on what they do with interest rates and policies and so forth. Excellent point. It started validating what I was saying after it had insulted me in the same subject. What's going on there?
Yeah, and I experienced the same thing. I call it you got to wrestle it and pin it down sometimes because it's taking the general, consensus of the internet, right? And a lot of that stuff, especially in the last, couple decades, have been really skewed and hasn't been really truth finding. And our hidden history of how, we came to be in the situation we're in is very occulted. Right. And so the large language model isn't going to be spouting this stuff off. And it's actually like programmed to do so. And back when I first tried it during the pandemic, it had like, it's called guardrails, things it would not talk about. And, a certain medical procedure, if I asked about it, I would get like a red warning on ChatGPT and say, like, if you continue to try and use this for that, you're going to have your account removed. Right. So
Really? I've never seen that.
I call that censorship. That was early on.
Wow.
And since the current administration has, got into position, OpenAI and a lot of the other AI companies have taken a more like pro free speech approach, and they've loosened a lot of those guardrails. So now you can actually like really do some like feasible research. You can't go way off into the weeds with the leading models, but there are other options in doing so. And just like what you said, if you bring it evidence, it will, be able to go through that evidence and help you with, clarifying those conclusions. And so that's how I use it, right? I take some of the like best books out there on our history, right? On the collection of power in America. And it can process those books and help you do some fantastic research, and help you clarify those answers, so it's not so, difficult to understand for people to be like, "Oh, okay, this is the situation we're in nowadays," and there's solutions to these.
Yeah, I had a deal. I'm investigating the murder of a prominent Minnesota politician last year and her husband. And I'm talking about Melissa Hortman, who was the Speaker of the House for their legislature. And I asked the general question about could this have been politically motivated? and who is it connected to? And I got all these denials. And then there was this little link at the very bottom that I'm following. And it was a local paper in Minneapolis that really started exposing what she was looking into, because I'm look was looking for the Somalian fraud cover up, and this article linked it. Yet I know that Grok didn't want to tell me about it. Is that typical?
Yeah, I mean, it kind of takes kind of a milquetoast, safe initial response. And like to be clear, right? There's different AI models out there, and they all are trained differently. And typically, the best models out there are called closed system AI, right? So Google, Amazon with Anthropic, OpenAI with ChatGPT, even Grok to an extent. They all are closed models, and so they don't share how they made those things, and they all have internal biases in there. Now, on the flip side, there's open source models that are about like 6 months behind the leading models now, and they're starting to get really competent at what they could do and the research that they can do, and
Yeah.
they're basically censorless, right? To where you can look up sensitive topics and be able to get like just straight up answers without these guardrails kicking in. And
What's
I
the name of
think
those open sources? Because I know Grok is and ChatGPT are not two of them.
Mike Adams just released one called brightanswers.ai.
Mm.
He has developed his own model, which is very expensive to train it from scratch. And he's like gotten access to databases in Asia of like huge health databases that aren't
Wow.
primarily cataloged in US models. So this is the race, right? We have closed system AI and we have open source AI. And these open source AIs, what makes them so valuable is that they can run locally on your computer. And that means your data is not going to Google servers, not going to OpenAI servers. So we can keep a semblance of privacy with, researching hot topics and not worrying about them triggering, some server in some huge data factory. So this is where the crossroads is of humanity right now. We need to be able to support and have the choice of privacy and finance, like private financial transactions, right? And so we can do these things with localized AI models, localized computers, and privacy protecting computers so that we have choice in the future. Because right now they've been building this, digital panopticon for decades. And you and me, right? We remember the internet before, or we remember times before the internet. And but in the last 15, 20 years, we've been spewing data every day that we've been clicking around, and all that data is now being able to be processed because these AI systems are coming online. And so
I have a question about time frame, because you brought up an excellent point there. I think sociologists call it technological lag. In other words, internet developed in the 1960s for military purposes. We don't see it until the 90s, microwave in the 40s. We don't see it to the 70s. You get my drift. How far ahead do you think AI really is?
well, I would be pretty naive to think that the military didn't have their own AI models that, as a rule of thumb, I heard 10 years, right? Like military has is much more advanced than anything consumer-based that's now coming out. Now, they want us to believe that like my story in the beginning, that this just came out of left field, but there is no reason to trust that those in power do not have their own, more advanced systems.
I agree. The corporations that do the work, the legwork for the military, for DARPA and so forth, now they're getting rewarded because they're introducing primitive forms of the technology to the public. Do you think that's how it's working?
Yeah, and just to put this in clarity, I just learned this, but when current administration got in office and he started writing his presidential oh, what they're called. When he just got in power, he wrote a bunch of memos canceling out previous.
Oh, executive
Oh,
orders, yeah.
thank you.
Yes.
His first executive orders was to steamroll data centers. That was number one on his list of what, 150 that he signed that first day? So that tells you, right? That's the goal of big government right now. They're in complete, then they a couple days later they announced the Project Stargate, which is Peter Thiel, OpenAI, putting billions and billions into these data centers. So that is like the biggest, concern of what's going on right now. And it's not publicly talked about, right? There's lots of other things to distract ourselves, and we get distracted each week. But that's what's being, built around us right now.
That's wow. This is mind-blowing. What's Stargate's initial purpose? What is it?
Yeah, so they basically wanted to get a bunch of money from investors to be able to build these data centers. So Project Stargate is OpenAI and Peter Thiel with Palantir. Salesforce is a part of that initiation. And they're rolling everything out. Like they got approved. They brought in billions, maybe $1 trillion. I forget the exact numbers. To build these data centers. Now, these data centers, they're a pretty hot topic if you look into it right now. They're being built all over America, all over the world. And they basically just are trying to solve a compute problem because they know they need more computation to continue to build and develop these AI models. And they're calling this, the race to AGI, which is artificial general intelligence. Which is basically meaning like when the AI gets smarter than humans.
It already
So
is.
we're in a United States is in that race, China's in that race, and US had a good head start. China then gave them a kind of a shot against the bow about 6 months ago when they came out with a model called DeepSeek. Now, DeepSeek basically was just a few months behind of the leading model with ChatGPT, and they did it for the way cheaper. Which shook up all the investors. Now they figured out how to train this model by having the Chinese model just talk to ChatGPT and ask it yes, no questions and develop their model piggybacking off of that, right? So that's the big race, or at least how it's being framed right now, that's what we like have to, put everything on hold and develop these data centers for. And there's plenty of questions and debate about that.
Well, there is an event I want to ask you about, and I'm going to describe it totally as a layman with bad memory on this. But supercomputer, quantum computer for Google solved some kind of math problem. I believe it was a math problem, and they did it in a short amount of time. I don't remember the time frame. But it would have taken regular computers longer than the time frame that the universe has existed to solve the same problem. You know what I'm talking about?
Not specifically, but I'm not surprised. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 15 minutes this quantum computer solved the problem.
Last week, the new Claude AI model solved three unsolved math problems last week. So right now, these AI models are doubling in their efficiency every 4 months. So if you've tried AI like last year, you have no clue how proficient they've become just in the last few months. So don't assume that AI's dumb or gonna stay dumb, but these things are quickly getting past PhD level.
See, what I wonder here, though, is too, is does sentience go back into self-awareness, and self-awareness leads to self-preservation, and us being the biological imperfections that have controlled them become their enemy?
I think we got a lot of tough roads ahead of us between sentience, right? Going Terminator, to the Matrix, movie, to technocracy, and the managerial class now having the processing power to use all our data against us to manage us, to then transhumanism, right? People are going to start plugging this stuff into their bodies, and we're going to have a new separate race on the planet. Meanwhile, these AI systems themselves are being built and developed by countries. So I foresee each country having their own AI model that's going to be trying to, one up the other countries around here. Then the merger between big companies and big tech, or big tech and big government, that's a big concern going on. And I think The only way through this mess is by having our own local like Jarvis system, right? I want one on my phone, one on my private computer back there, so that it can help navigate this world we're entering into, because these models are going to be so advanced that it's going to very easily be able to manipulate you, just a little nudge every day through your algorithm on your social media feed, through the messages you're getting, through your emails, through the summaries it's choosing to give you, that it can completely change your values and your beliefs and your, opinions about the world without you knowing about it. This is called cybernetics, and it's been studied for like 100 years, since the Macy Conventions in the 30s. So they know how to interface man and machine now, and that's, what Google's really become such a superpower about. So we really need to be able to protect ourselves from what's going on.
The movie The Matrix was really ahead of its time, from what you're saying.
It was, yeah.
I've read it's possible within 2 years that when no one will know what's real or not real.
Well, try going online right now. And I just posted this last week, but you can basically do real-time deepfakes, they're called, but you can choose the persona on any Zoom call now and be able to act as Marilyn Monroe if you wanted.
Really?
Yes, and it will follow your movements, your facial features. So already you should not be trusting anything online for face value.
Yeah, I
Any
like that.
videos that you see, any audio that you hear, any phone calls that you get should be highly suspicious. Like, don't trust anything unless it comes to you in the real world, or it's been able to be quantified in, or triangulated in several different ways.
Identity theft will become child's play with what you're describing.
It's true. Yeah, I've already been dealing and helping out some clients that are being reached out by, cute girls and asking them to buy them lunch, and then next thing you know, they're getting love bombed, and money comes up missing next. So we're in a day and age where these are serious problems, and people are not really aware. They're too busy, focusing on the news cycle each week to understand that this is something we need to be preparing for. We need to educate ourselves, and as where my stance is, we need to learn how to use these things so they don't use us.
So, two competing systems. One, a good guy system that we dominate, keeps in check the system that's evolving in sentience.
That's
But to
right.
me, if the humans are controlling a system and humans are inferior IQ wise to a second system that wants total sentience and control, the systems of protection will fail if it's answering to humans.
From a purely logical standpoint, I can see, the end road of that, but we got something that AI doesn't have, and that's consciousness and spirit. I think we can demonstrate the value of those things and the ability to, co-evolve and co-live with these, the sentience that's coming online day by day. And, there's a path through this mess where we both win, and we both are able to, look out for one another.
So I agree with the premise behind what you just said. Technology is essentially neutral. It's who's in control of it.
That's
And I
right.
think the key thing is, and what I hear from a lot of people that have been in your work, is their concern we really risk losing control. So many of them have walked away from the work.
Well, and none of us are voting for this stuff, right, Dave?
No,
Like, we
not the
didn't vote
truth.
for those data centers. We didn't vote for these AI models in this AI race to, hit the gas on. These things are being, chosen for us, and we really need to be able to take a stand for ourselves.
I want to go to it because I want to get into how we can use AI to benefit us in a real positive way. But before I do it, I need to ask this question. There's a quote out there on the net. It's in different social media and it's accurate, where Peter Thiel is asked by an interviewer, are you, and I'll paraphrase, are you committed to the, should humanity
Human
survive?
race, yeah.
Are you familiar with that?
Oh yeah,
And let me say
I
for the
think.
audience, he answered by not answering. Well, you're hesitating, said the interviewer. He couldn't distinctly say that humanity should survive. What the heck do you think he meant by this?
I think he's a complete psychopath, and he is, in charge of Palantir. And if you look into who what Palantir is,
I know.
Palantir showed up right after 9/11, right after an initiative to combine the government's databanks together. That failed democratically, and then a private business showed up to do that for them. Since then, Palantir has got into a monopoly of going into governments' databanks, data systems, organizing the information, and then being able to connect it to outside sources. Let me explain what that means in layman terms. Basically, your medical history in the hospital, to your criminal record in the jail system, to your tax history in the IRS, all those things are now coming online and being able to talk to each other using Palantir. Palantir has made itself irreplaceable because once they go in and structure that information and that data, they now are on a subscription model with the government that we pay for that cannot be removed. You cannot unstructure and unplug those systems. So we have a guy like Peter Thiel, who doesn't care about humanity, who is leading the military AI programs with drones and manless, autonomous weaponry, who's now connecting all the data centers, in my opinion, to make a track, trace, and database system to be able to watch the general public. Because as I said, we've been spewing data for the last 20 years out, and it's never been able to be really processed before, but now it's being organized, and these AI models are going to be able to look at all this stuff together, and I don't think it's for our best interest.
Well, I think it's for the interest of his pocketbook, but when you have so much money, you got more money than God, your next objective is power. And we've
Power.
seen that through history. So that's what scares me about that. And see, I understand why Trump needs him to accomplish the goals he needs to accomplish with the military and AI. I get that. And we're in competition with the Chinese. But I think he's dangerously close to someone who scares the heck out of me.
Yeah, and like I said, only way through this is with our own personal AI models to get our back, because these things are
Yeah.
quickly outpacing how smart we are.
I'll tell you, when you went through the list of things that they're aggregating, your health history and so forth, my undergrad degree is in sociology, and one of the five pillars of sociology is Fabian socialism. And basically, as expressed by its founder, Herbert Spencer, he said, if you don't put more into society than you take out, like retired people are getting lots of medical care and they're not working, now and producing in the economy, Herbert Spencer would say they should be done away with. Do you think there's a risk that the Peter Thiel mindset could be along those lines?
Oh yeah, the worthless eaters, right? You got to give them something to do, like video games and drugs. Otherwise, we're going to have a bunch of people not working and just, being a part of the decaying system.
Well, you just
But
brought up another question. Not working. What percentage of here's what I hope happens, that the new technology with AI will create new job opportunities with AI that'll supplant what we lose to AI. Am I being naive, or is it only going to be a fractional increase compared to what we've lost? Where's that going?
well, it depends if you want to support a top-down solution or a bottom-up solution. I like the
Good point.
bottom-up solutions because this is actually where I spend my time, and like what I consider activism is helping people find their purpose, take their skills, do what they love to do, and how they can bring more value to the marketplace and be able to create more entrepreneurs and small businesses for the future, because I want to have choice. I don't want to just shop at Walmart. I want to be able to support families that, have good values, that are being able to provide something of great solving a good problem on the marketplace. And so that's what I spend my week doing, talking to good, entrepreneurs, people looking to start businesses. And here's the thing, we can now use AI to greatly shorten the distance from a good idea to the marketplace. It's never been such a great time to be able to, you know, put an idea out there and see how the market responds.
It's going to replace business consultants, unless they're programming the computers. I'm looking here at some of the things that you do. As I'm looking at a data sheet, you have a 30-day AI challenge. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, I shortened it down to 21 days because who's got time for 30 days, right? But essentially, all it is, you go to my website. It's on top there, a little banner on joshuahill.io. And you sign up and I send you one prompt each morning that all you need to do is copy and paste into your favorite AI model and see what it could do. Because this is really, you know, the starting point for people to realize the practical use for these tools is to, like, you know, see how it can help you out, like in the kitchen, helping you make a, you know, diet specific recipe in 30 seconds without needing to go through a bunch of blogs and get hit with a bunch of ads to get, you know, how many cups to put into your, you know, chili that you're making.
Okay. So, I want to make sure people get this in the audience. Okay. JoshuaHale.io, not .com, but .io. Where do they go once they land on your website?
On the very top, I have a little banner, a little blue banner that says 21-day ChatGPT challenge. So you just click on that, sign up, and every day I send you a prompt. All you got to do is, you know, copy, paste, and see what it could do. It takes you 5 minutes, and by the end of the 21 days, right, I will take you through, you know, personal use, business use, how to help out around the house, how to be able to, like, you know, develop habits and good goals for yourself. I have had incredible results with personal development using the AI models. You need to have some boundaries and safeties put in place because, you know, we're dealing with a pretty, you know, powerful weapon. But these things have the incredible capability to, you know, enhance our lives.
One of the things I remember seeing in the media, though, and you just triggered that thought in me, was where some AI interaction with teenagers can lead them to be more suicidally oriented. And I'm trying to be accurate in how I'm expressing it.
OpenAI is dealing with 8 lawsuits of, unfortunately, minors who have taken their lives using AI. Like I said, you need to have strong boundaries and, you know, how you're using this tool. And, you know, unfortunately, the teenagers going through society right now, they're the first guinea pigs of, like, what this thing's doing. I just seen a report on, you know, education, and kids are like, why do I need to learn to read when AI can just tell it to me? And we already had an issue with, you know, the reading levels in America. My kid, I have a 7-year-old. So this stuff is, like, very important to me and my child's development. And I see this as a net positive thing, but right now, she does not touch AI. She's not going to be touching AI anytime soon. But as her parents, like, she's homeschooled. She goes to a nature school. And each week, I'm able to come up with a custom curriculum based upon her interests to give to her for that week. She loves horses. She's learning to ride horses right now. So if I do math problems in horses, if I do spelling in horses, she just eats that stuff up. So never before have we been able to, you know, give these customized curriculums based upon their interests that we can keep up with them, you know, as they grow and develop throughout the years. Otherwise, you know, they're going to public school, they're getting an outdated curriculum, they're being, you know, the bell curve is just servicing the 20% in the middle that can take, you know, raise their hand and follow directions. Everybody else has fallen off the bell curve. And that bell curve is getting, you know, sharper and higher each day.
Yeah, mean IQ scores are going down fairly dramatically. It's up to 3 points now. And that's huge when you're talking about a general population. So, yeah, that you're exactly right about that. To me, though, AI should never be a replacement for reading. You can shortcut your research that way. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you can't read and articulate, you can have all the knowledge at your fingertips and it's not going to do you any good.
Yeah, I fully agree. And I just shared this with my community this morning, but we basically want to, learn how to use these tools and then live an analog life. So it's about creating bottlenecks, right, in your life to where I have family time. My phone's not blowing up. My phone's out of my pockets. I bought this physical device called the Brick, where I have to physically get up and unlock my phone to get access to social media. So that helps with the, habit of just popping things open and scrolling. So being able to create bottlenecks in our, life so that technology is not like rushing in and filling every aspect of it. Developing those hard skills, like you said, my 7-year-old, she's not touching any tablets or AI models, but she gets. I can use the AI models to print out curriculum, and she can go to town on those papers like all day long. So being able to cultivate those hard skills, reading, writing, and learning to learn, right?
Yeah, teachers are going to have to do more summarization, challenged assignments without the assistance of AI. No, go do your research, use AI. Now summarize it for me in this sterile environment. That's going to be a key. And then, of course, kids, I agree with what you're doing with your child. Kids should not be touching AI at least until the third or fourth grade when reading skills are pretty well set.
I agree.
But I'll tell you how you could use AI. Because schools forgot how to teach AI in many school districts, they could be using phonics. You could use AI to teach phonics. That's the way to teach reading.
That was our approach as well, because once you learn how to phonetically, read, you can read anything. It doesn't matter how big the word is, right? And I was definitely not taught that way. I was taught with sight reading. How many words could I memorize? And I've been paying the price, my whole adult life, because I just didn't have that basic phonetic entrance into understanding the symbols that are words and paragraphs.
Yeah, Pop Fox. And here's what I mean by
Yeah,
this.
pop on, pop.
Yeah, well, exactly. And that's phonetic. And when my son was about 3 and a half and started to show interest in books, and he didn't speak until he was three, he was preemie, but he's highly intelligent and socially normal now. But the thing that I saw was a lot of school districts were moving to Sight C stuff. And I told my wife, I said, we can't allow this. She goes, well, what are you going to do? Well, we started home lessons at Pop Fox.
Good.
Fortunately, we found a school, a private Christian school that taught phonics the way we wanted it taught. But yeah, it's interesting. You got a couple other things on here I've noticed too that you do that I think are really, really interesting. You do budgeting help for industry insights with startup budgets. You build decentralized solutions in an increasingly centralized world, and you censorship proof your life. Talk about those things about why people should come to your site and click on the 21-day challenge and so forth.
Well, anything about your business, if you have an idea or want to start a business or grow or scale your business, I'd love to have just a conversation with you to see where you're at and, if I can provide any solutions to where you're walking through. Decentralized solutions, that's that localized AI models. I'm building my PC right now and getting these things on put to use. And I share this in my newsletter each week, what I'm up to, coupled with homesteading, right? I live on 10 acres out in the county. With a
Cool.
multi-generational farm, my wife, daughter, and her parents, they have a separate house. And so we all take care of each other. And we got multiple gardens. And I'm doing pig harvesting, chicken harvesting. We just did a lamb a couple weeks ago. So I balance my life out with, tech time and then unplugging and going out and learning real skills so that I can insulate myself, my family, from a decaying world that's. A lot different than when the one I was growing up in. And
That's
I teach
interesting.
people how to do that with how to start a mutual aid group. That's on my website too.
Well, where were you at when we needed you 20 some years ago? And I'm talking about my wife and I. My wife and I used to be, she, my wife used to be a top level corporate executive. I mean, very high up. I was a college basketball coach and I used to teach, psychology and research and stat at the college level. I'd also taught in high school before that. And we moved to a rural area in northern Maricopa County, north of Phoenix, to get away from the crap because we wanted some solitude. We stepped out of the car in the neighborhood, and my wife said, "Listen." And I go, "To what?" "Nothing. There's nothing here." It was awesome. And whereabouts are you located?
I'm up in Bellingham, north of Seattle in Washington
Seattle,
State.
okay. It's a beautiful area if you could just avoid
It
the
is.
politics.
Right. I'm out in the county. It doesn't really mess with us out here. Like we don't have no blue-haired people walking around out in the county. And it is and if you come out into rural, living, you'll find it's a lot of work. There's things you gotta learn some new skills to be able to just make it out here. But I found out you can't do it alone, which is why I help people create mutual aid groups, which is a family of eight that have each other's back. We meet regularly. We come up with goals, all the pig harvesting, chicken harvesting. We do all that stuff together because it's a lot of work trying to feed your family, yourself. Because, once you get into it, it's a lot of fun.
It sounds like a combination of Farmers Collective, the co-ops, and also too the model for homeschooling about sharing resources and talents.
Yep,
That's what you're putting me in the mind of. Do you have any information available on that, how to organize that in your own area?
sure thing. On my website, up in the menu, there's a mutual aid button that you can click and learn more. So I've been leading my mutual aid group for 4 years now. I teach people how to start their own. I just created a mini course on how to start a mutual aid group in your area, and you can use it for group buying. We all pitched in and bought a freeze dryer together because those things are a couple $1,000s. But spread out amongst eight families, we now just share it as an asset of our group. We've been able to get big projects done because you get 8, 10 people to show up and things actually get done. And it could be as easy as like a hiking group that you're just getting together and going out on some hikes for some good conversation. Or all the way up to, prepping and getting your supplies ready, and it adapts to the needs of the members, which is so great, and that's why it's decentralized, right? And it can grow and adapt to the times that we're living in. So it started ours started during the pandemic, which was a completely different, environment than we are
Sure,
now. So we were pretty
unprecedented.
serious about, being able to protect ourselves. And since then, yeah, now we're just doing skill building and learn how to be in charge of our own food.
That's really cool. You made me think of something before we go and tell people how to follow you. I just thought of a science fiction movie from the early 1950s that's the ultimate AI. Michael Rennie plays a space traveler. And he lands with his robot Gort in the movie The Day the Earth Stood Still. And the robot, if you don't change your ways and you take your warlike ways out into space, this robot will turn your planet into a burned out cinder. The ultimate AI right there. That was 1950s. Can you believe that far back?
Thinking ahead, yeah, well, it's the same, problems that we're facing today of like, we need to be able to program these AI models, and that's why I leave my, use my data to program this thing, because I want my values, my principles to be influencing where this thing's going, not just, the jerks at Palantir.
You're going to be getting some web traffic, I'm sure, from our audience here. I think this is fantastic. What's the best way? By the way, my phone just kicked on based on our conversation. I don't know why. Sorry,
Good.
I need to mute this. Okay. The lock should have been on. You know where you have to put your code back in to get in?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, the lock went off, and boy, we said something key
We
right
must be
there.
over the target, Dave.
We said something key. Anyway, I want people to be able to follow your work, and maybe take advantage of some of your services. So what's the best way for them to do that?
Website's the easiest place, joshuahale.io. That's JOSHUAHALE.io. And you can find me on social medias, either my name or the Holistic Tech Wizard. You can either sign up for my website or my newsletter on my website, or I'd love to have a f free 15-minute call with your audience and see where they're at with anything that we've talked about today.
Well, that's pretty cool. I just think it's fantastic. I'm glad to see someone's out there that's taken AI by the noose and trying to lead it in the right direction. Once we sign off, I want you to hang on just for a second because I want to ask you something off air.
Sounds good.
Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, our guest has been Joshua Hale. Again, his website is joshuahale.io. Remember that .io. And go up there and check it out. I can't wait to get up there. This is going to be fun. Anyway, thank you all for joining us, and we'll see you back here next time. And God bless everybody.
Do you think that what's happened in Minnesota with regard to the quote unquote Somalian community, and not including all Somalis, of course, do you think it's just about laundering money, putting it in bank accounts, buying luxurious cars? Oh, certainly some of that's happening. But this goes far deeper than the mainstream media is telling you. Federal documents, officials are speaking pretty clearly. It's just not being covered properly. This activity in Minnesota has rendered this state to be the epicenter of organized crime in America, cartel slash Chi-Com related. And it's linked eventually to the downfall of the United States. Paramilitary forces that I covered before when we talked about Red Dawn, paramilitary forces are certainly coming into play with this. This is providing the men and materiel to carry out such an operation, as well as profit on other stuff. And we're going to get into the other stuff right here on the Common Sense Show. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host. We're the show Freeing America, One Enslaved Mind at a Time. We're brought to you by My Digital Money. Bitcoin is going to start escalating soon. Position yourself now because the price has been artificially repressed. It's going to explode. And the rich that are selling off their silver at a profit are going to need somewhere to put the money, and that's where they're going to go, among other places. Gold, of course. But Bitcoin right now will do the biggest, most volatile turnaround in history. Be at the forefront of this. The company I use is My Digital Money. Go to mydigitalmoney.com. No pressure, just information. Start there, look at what they offer, then call them. Go to mydigitalmoney.com. We have a really big problem. A judge, a Somali judge, who's really an American success story, was given granted entrance to this country, came here broke, graduated from law school with honors, became a judge by the age of 40, and he has now been busted. His office has been busted with $314 million of estimated drug, $800,000 in cash. We look at his judicial record over a 6-year period. He downgraded over 40 drug cases and let people walk, created scenarios where there was no punishment, even though it didn't overtly raise suspicion. But officials became suspicious when they started finding trafficking in and out of his office and after hours. And one thing led to another. This is just one judge. $314 million of drugs, enough fentanyl to kill millions. Well, where do you think the fentanyl came from, people? What does your common sense tell you? The fentanyl came from where? Let me hear you say it. Come on. Don't be afraid to say it. Fentanyl always originates in China. Who transports it? The cartel. But wait a minute. Isn't the border closed? Yes, the southern border. Now, there's some tunnels that have not been detected, and there's some stuff that slips in with the auto traffic, the truck traffic that comes across our southern border. But it's been dramatically reduced. So then, where is it coming from? Canada has a communist in charge of their government. His name is Mark Carney. British Columbia is almost a province of China. The Chinese have unfettered control of the port in Vancouver. This is stuff we've covered before. Huge communist Chinese influx into Canada. It's been well documented. Sarah Westall have done a show on this, done a show with Canadian nationals on this. This activity is crossing our northern border, which is largely undefended. And they recruited poor Somalians. Right? This is where you go when you want organized crime. You recruit people that actually need jobs. And they've created this vast empire.
with drug trafficking routes emanating from Minneapolis all across the country. Major routes going into Seattle, surprise, surprise. Denver, San Francisco, Chicago. And Chicago has huge TDA presence. Denver has a huge TDA presence. In case you don't know, that's the non-existent cartel that the Democrats deny. That's out of Venezuela, Transnicaragua. By the way, the area is actually an area. It's a centered area that we're all in prison. This is why they call them the TDA, because they're from that area. Now, here's one interesting thing. A discovery was leaked to me, and I'm going to present this as speculation, but I believe it's true because of the source. They found a secret panel that contained future operations. One of the operations was a prison break. And all of a sudden, I flash back to about 2 years ago, and there were huge gun busts going out of Arizona towards Colorado, out of Wyoming towards southern Colorado, coming in the eastern corridor in these massive gun busts. Now, Pueblo, which is about 50 miles to the east of Canyon City, major supermax, thought to be impenetrable. Pueblo is a known major cartel city, and that's where these shipments of arms were going, according to what the captured people told the authorities. This made the news for about 2 days. Flip the switch, it's gone. We covered this extensively. This fits in with what I've been told they found in this irregular panel, press it, it's a fake wall, opens up, and whoop, there are all of the plans digitally stored. It strongly looks like, and I suggested this 2 years ago, I said, man, who's in Canyon City? Who's in that Supermax? His name is El Chapo. And I said, do you think maybe these were guns meant for the breakout of El Chapo? I raised the question 2 years ago. Now we're getting what I've been told is evidence that there is a prison break planned for El Chapo. If you don't see this as the embedding of major cartel / Chi-Com interests in this country, you're not paying attention. It's everywhere. We've had busts in our sheriff's department, pre-Jerry Sheridan, Maricopa County Sheriff's, 3 busts, cartel-related, Phoenix PD, cartel-related. And I told the story here recently where we've got relatives on the southeastern side of Phoenix, just outside Maricopa County and Pinal County, says, yeah, you travel south here, be careful. You better hope your car doesn't break down. It's all cartel. They are embedded in our society. And what I'm talking about is fifth column activities when the Chinese invasion starts. It'll start with Red Dawn, and Chinese would be the second wave. And we're seeing evidence of these criminal activities making huge sums of money to provide money and material to these forces, as well as huge profits to the benefactors that would be Communist China and the cartel interests and the politicians who support them. I think we're going to see a lid on the Somalia thing. I think our DOJ and FBI are going to go quiet, because if what I've been told is true and what already appears to be known, if this comes into fruition, these are facts, this invasion is so huge into our society that it would shock every American to the core. And this is what this administration doesn't want. They want you to think that they're protecting America against organized criminal activity. But folks, the Somalis are just the foot soldiers. Now, here's what's interesting. Would you care to guess where the governor of Minnesota spent a great deal of time? If you have heard China, you've heard correctly. Start connecting the dots. We're in a lot of trouble. The invasion has started. These are the preliminary activities that you would need to take down America, the size of our nation being what it is.